Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Q4 2015 investor call. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Ms. Aurora Davidson. Please go ahead, Ms. Davidson.
Thank you, Mary. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the annual investor conference call of Amerigo Resources Limited on Friday, February the 26th, 2016. I'm Aurora Davidson, the company's Executive Vice President and Chief Financial Officer. Before we begin our presentation, let me caution you that our comments and discussions will include forward-looking information within the meaning of applicable securities legislation. Such forward-looking information will include, among other things, forecasts and projections about our copper production for 2016, which involves known and unknown risks, uncertainties, and other factors that may cause the actual results, performance, or achievements to be materially different from such forecasts and projections. Therefore, although we believe that the anticipated future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by the forward-looking information are based on reasonable assumptions and expectations, you should not place undue reliance on such forward-looking information. You should review our press release issued on February the 24th and our other documents filed with the securities authorities in Canada, including our annual information form under the heading Description of the Business Risk Factors. These documents describe the material factors and assumptions that were applied in drawing the conclusions and making the forecasts and projections as reflected in the forward-looking information and the material factors that could cause our actual results, performance, or achievements to differ materially. Except as required by law, we undertake no obligation to update or revise any forward-looking information made in this presentation. Now, I would like to introduce the company's President and Chief Executive Officer, Rob Henderson.
Thank you, Aurora, and thank you, everyone, for joining the call. The headline results we posted yesterday showed significantly lower annual revenue and earnings in comparison with prior years. Amerigo reported revenues of $52 million and a net loss of $17 million for the year. Unfortunately, this less than satisfactory result was due to low production and low copper price that occurred during a year of positive change at MVC. The first phase of the long-awaited Cauquenes development was completed in December 2015. We invested $67 million into the infrastructure required to deliver the high-grade tailings from the historic Cauquenes tailings deposit into the existing mill at MVC. We are now set up for generating higher copper production and significantly reduced operating costs well into the future. I'm pleased to report that the MVC team performed very well to complete the Cauquenes project in December, 7% under budget, and most importantly, they achieved an unblemished safety record of zero incidents. Copper production will continue to increase over the first half of this year before MVC hits its full stride in Q3 and Q4. The ramp-up in production from Cauquenes has been slower than expected, mainly due to low grade and low recovery in the plant. Zones of low-grade oxide material in the surface layer of the deposit appear to be more extensive than modeled, resulting in mined copper grades of 0.22% compared to the average mineral resource grade of 0.27% for the deposit. However, grades are currently increasing and expected to be higher in the second half of the year. MVC's annual production guidance for 2016 is to deliver 55-60 million pounds of copper at an annual cash cost of $1.65-$1.85 pounds per copper. Capital expenditures will be significantly lower than in the past, and this year we expect to spend $5 million in sustaining CapEx, primarily associated with building deeper extraction sumps at Cauquenes. The average copper price in 2015 was $2.47 a pound compared to $3.14 per pound in 2014, and it's carried on going down. Today, the copper price seems to have stabilized at around $2.10 per pound, and this is significantly lower than prior analyst expectations. and consequently, this low-price environment has sharpened our focus on cost management, and it's resulted in major decisions in 2015, such as suspension of molybdenum production in Q1 and suspension of copper production from Collahuasi in Q3. Operational trade-off decisions between lower production or lower costs swung towards cost reductions, often at the expense of pounds of copper produced. MVC has reduced headcount by 20% and has eliminated all non-essential contracts, and we expect to be producing copper at a cash cost below $1.70 per pound in the second half of the year. MVC has been in negotiations with their power provider, and they have agreed to reduce the electricity tariff, providing us savings of approximately $1.5 million per year in 2016 and 2017, and $3.5 million savings per year after 2018. We are currently in negotiations with El Teniente to reduce the royalty rate for Cauquenes. During this time of low copper price, I think it's important to note our relatively strong liquidity and financial position. At the end of the year, the group had $9 million in cash and had approximately $18 million of undrawn committed credit facilities and $10 million in undrawn from the El Teniente copper price support facility, which is available to us at a monthly rate of $1 million when the copper price is below $2.80 per pound. Our partner, El Teniente, has been supportive of MVC, and they have agreed to defer royalties for 4 months, March to June 2016, until we reach agreement on the new royalty rate. MVC has also reached an agreement with its power provider to defer 20% of power payments from the first half of this year to the second half. MVC has a $64 million loan facility with BBVA and EDC, and as of the end of the year 2015, MVC had received funding of $59.6 million for the Cauquenes expansion. Loan repayments commence in June this year, and we expect to be able to meet all of our obligations from cash flow generated from operations and from our credit facilities if need be. Our key objective this year is to complete the Cauquenes ramp-up program and ensure MVC's liquidity. We have made a substantial investment into MVC and are now well-positioned in today's challenging copper price environment. Our outlook for 2016 is to generate record copper production and lower cash cost. I'll now hand you over to Aurora to discuss the financials.
Thank you, Rob. As you well said, although the financial results for 2015 were less than satisfactory, the real story for the year was the Cauquenes expansion, through which MVC and Amerigo are positioned to sustain operations and meet financial commitments in the current low copper price environment. There were three key achievements in 2015: securing the financing with BBVA and Export Development Canada, constructing phase one of Cauquenes on time and $5 million below budget, and achieving substantial cost reductions at MVC, where tolling and production costs were $20 million lower than in 2014. The company's ending cash position at year-end was $9 million. MVC's projected copper production for 2016 of 55 to 60 million pounds of copper should result in an annualized cash cost in the range of $1.70 per pound, returning MVC to generating positive operating cash flow. CapEx, which has traditionally been a substantial item at MVC, is projected to be $5 million or 9 cents per pound in 2016. The El Teniente royalty, which is tied up to copper prices, shows that under a current copper price environment, copper price of $2.10 would be approximately 38 cents per pound. Our debt service commitments for 2016 are $14 million or approximately 25 cents per pound. In 2016, MVC is accessing $10 million from a price support facility from El Teniente at a rate of $1 million a month if the copper price is below $2.80. These considerations put together allow us to meet obligations as they fall due in 2016 under the current price scenario. And as copper prices fall below 195, the current contract provisions with El Teniente would result in a substantial decrease in royalties that would allow us to operate and meet commitments at lower copper prices without having to access further debt facilities. Liquidity management at MVC is being conducted at a very granular level. As Rob mentioned, MVC has secured rate reductions and payment deferrals with its power provider, which is MVC's most significant cost. And a four-month deferral of royalties has been granted by El Teniente while royalty discussions take place. We look forward to reporting good progress towards the annual goals at the end of Q1.
That's it from us. I think we're open for questions now.
Thank you. We will now take questions from the telephone lines. If you have a question and you're using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before making your selection. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If at any time you wish to cancel your question, please press the pound sign. Please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. There will be a brief pause while participants register. Thank you for your patience. The first question is from Joseph Rieger from Newport Beach. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon or good morning. I guess a couple of questions, and thanks, obviously, for doing it. I doing the call today, I realize, obviously, you guys can't control the copper price, but, you know, given where prices are at today, if they were to stay there for the year, how much more could you borrow against your credit facilities, what's still left available to you?
Thanks, Joe. I'll ask Aurora to answer that. But, I mean, we at today's prices, we don't expect to extend it much, but I'll let Aurora provide you the details.
Yes, our main rev facility, which is being used in 2016, is a price support facility from El Teniente. We had an availability of $10 million at the start of the year. And we're using or we're accessing $1 million a month from that facility given the current copper prices. Other than that, we still have $4.8 million remaining from the Tranche A facility with BBVA and EDC. We expect to draw the final disbursement of that facility in the upcoming days. Most of that is destined to cover the remaining payables on the cost incurred in Cauquenes from last year, but there is a portion that would flow into operating cash flow as the disbursement exceeds the payables outstanding, and we don't expect to draw from any further facilities other than as described.
Okay. And then on the debt, I've got you. I believe you said $14 million in the prepared remarks of the debt service for this year, but looking at the balance sheet, there was about $17.9 million, I think, in short-term debt. What's the discrepancy there?
Yeah, that's a good question. When I'm talking about the $14 million, I'm talking about the debt service and the capital repayment of Tranche A, which is basically the $64.4 million loan. We also have a Tranche B facility, which is a value-added tax line of credit of about $9 million. That basically has to be repaid from working capital items. We have a substantial VAT tax refund in our balance sheet. We have received a portion of that as we speak, which has been destined to pay that a portion of the Tranche B loan. And the rest of the Tranche B loan is basically generated from the balancing of the VAT collected from sales and VAT paid on purchases. So it's not that we have to generate that cash. It's a working capital adjustment that flows into the repayment of that facility.
Okay. A bit complicated, but I think I get the point that there's a little bit of a gap there in actual repayment. Okay, and then, you know, thinking kind of big picture, what is the, that's probably a good question for Rob, the delay in payments from March to June on the royalty, how should we look at that from an accounting standpoint? Is that going to mean, you know, better profitability in March? Are you guys going to account for it with an assumed royalty? And then, you know, big picture, how much money do you think you can save there? And, you know, as this renegotiation goes on, you know, what's the indication you're getting from Codelco as far as, you know, willingness to be flexible about what their royalties are?
Yeah, I think we've been in discussion with El Teniente since Cauquenes started in September last year. So, you know, it's a long discussion. We've had conversations, you know, very high up in Codelco, and they are supportive. They do understand our position. And, you know, we expect these negotiations are going to be complete in June. You know, what the net result is, you know, it's going to be favorable. Exactly how favorable, we're not sure yet. But they have agreed that, you know, the existing rate is, you know, higher than it should be. But it's, you know, too early to say where it's going to end up. As for the accounting treatment of it, maybe Aurora can address that. But you know.
Yeah, I think that the core answer has been provided by Rob. How to deal with it on an accounting from an accounting point of view? The royalties are being are basically since 2015. They're being deducted from the tolling revenue that we generate by selling the copper providing the tolling service to El Teniente. We would continue to account for it. It's basically just a deferral. So as long as it's a deferral, it would be shown as an increase in current liability.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay. And then just, you know, kind of looking at it the year, I know you guys gave kind of full year guidance, but is there kind of like a ratio you guys would say that's first half, second half of that production guidance? Is it 60, 40, 55, 45, you know, something like that?
Yeah, I don't think it's that straightforward. I think we're seeing a steady, you know, ramp up as we get deeper into Cauquenes. The grade improves and the recovery improves. So, you know, we're seeing a gradual, you know, almost a linear increase, certainly over the first half of the year. We expect to, you know, hit full stride, you know, around about August, and it'll then start to plateau out after August. So if you're going to be trying to do a quarterly model or a monthly model, you know, I would break up the guidance into two halves, you know, gradually increasing in the first half and then keeping steady in the second.
Okay. Thanks. I'll turn it over.
Thank you.
Once again, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad if you have a question. The following question is from Wayne Atwell from Greenwich. Please go ahead.
Good morning. What price would it take for you to re-crank up your molybdenum production?
Hi, Wayne. That's an interesting question. Certainly, you know, we haven't budgeted to produce any moly this year, given the price of $5. But with Cauquenes, you know, we are seeing higher moly grades as we hoped for. So, and we are looking at, you know, ways and means of getting the plant started again, you know, potentially as low as, you know, maybe $7 a pound, $6-$7, we might, you know, have enough financial incentive to start up that plant again. But right now, our forecast is not to produce moly this year.
Okay. And what is your estimated break-even cost for moly? Is it about $6.50, or where would you break even?
Yeah, it's because we are in this new deposit. Certainly, in the old deposit for Caliwes, the break-even was near 7 or 8, and we shut the plant down when it dropped below 8. Now that we have higher moly grades in Carquinez, we think that break even is you know closer to 5 or 6.
Okay. Now, if you don't capture the moly, it goes back into tailings probably, so there's not sort of like a reservoir sitting on the side, right?
Yeah, what happens is that we produce a bulk copper concentrate, and the moly is contained in that concentrate. So we sell that concentrate to El Teniente, including the moly. So, you know, it goes off in the copper con. If and when moly price is high enough to justify it, we then separate the moly con out of the copper con to produce two separate concentrates. So it's not in the tailing, per se. We do take it out into the concentrate, but if it's not a high enough quantity in the concentrate, it doesn't pay for the treatment to get it out of the con into a separate con.
Right. Now, I assume you're not hedging copper. What's your strategy, and when might you hedge copper, or is that not likely?
You know, certainly not at current prices. You know, I think we're opportunistic. We're, you know, we'd have to get into discussion with BBVA on if and when any opportunity arose. You know, certainly if copper prices did increase substantially, you know, we would certainly be considering a hedge position. But at today's price, I don't think it makes sense.
Okay. And you gave us your cash break-even. What's your fully loaded break-even for copper for 2016 estimated at?
We didn't get your question. Could you ask it again?
Sure. Sorry. You gave us what I thought was a cash cost estimate for copper for 2016. What would your fully loaded cost be?
Well, again, that depends on the copper price because of the royalty component. If we were talking about the current copper price of $210, we would be looking at cash cost plus capex at service and the royalty of about $2.37. But you have also to consider that under those conditions, we have the DET support, which represents about 18 cents per pound.
So that sort of implies 255, 260?
No. 237
no.
Minus 218, so that's...
Okay.
210,
219. 220. Okay. So at 220, you'd be more or less break-even on a fully loaded basis?
Yes.
Correct.
Great. And can you give us your power cost, how much you're paying per kilowatt hour?
We're paying on the range of 10 cents
$0.10 per kilowatt hour. And we have that under a long-term contract, so that's not going to change.
Oh, okay. And you put in your own diesel. So is that your diesel that's producing that, or are you buying that power?
Yeah, we can produce up to 20 megawatts when the grid price is high. Right now, Chile's had a lot of rain, so the grid price is lower than $10 per megawatt hour. And the cost of generating our own power is, you know, in the order of 12 to 13 cents. So right now the generators are not running because it's cheaper for us just to get power from the grid.
Okay,
so
great.
If the grid price goes, you know, above the cost of generation, then we will generate our own power. But right now we're not doing that.
Okay, great. Listen, thank you very much for your thoughts.
Thank you, Wayne.
Thank you. There are no further questions registered at this time. I would now like to turn the meeting back over to Ms. Davidson.
Thank you, Mary, and thank you to the participants to the call. We have nothing else to report, and we look forward to discussing our quarterly results at the end of Q1.
Thank you. The conference has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time. Thank you for your participation.